Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. Today is Wednesday. It is the 13th of January, 2021. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Sorry, did you just say it's the 13th of January?
I did.
So we've nearly made it halfway through January.
That's what I believe, yes.
Right. Cool. Hi.
Inching ever closer to another March. I know. Fantastic, right?
Hi. No, cool.
Either way, here we are.
You've done half of dry January, if that's your vibe. Cool.
Here hey, we are. Very, and if you have, I commend you. anyway, so that said, this morning, Apple put out an announcement, and before we actually talk about the announcement, I just want to put in, we were hearing a lot of rumbling about it being something vaccination related, and I was sort of excited about that aspect of it, trying to figure out how Apple got involved, and that would have been awesome.
So we heard, yesterday, Tuesday, which apparently was the 12th of January, that Apple was making a big announcement that was not a product.
Yes, a non-product announcement coming tomorrow.
So I think lots of people's mind went, well, Apple has made PPE things. We'll come to a lot of the stuff that Apple has done. But yes. Logic went, Apple might turn it do something around vaccinations. You know, could it help use its plants to produce vaccines? Sounds complicated. Could it turn Apple stores into vaccination centers? I've heard less, you know, that was my guess.
Yes, I've definitely heard sillier Apple related theories. So that seemed good. Like, yeah.
The stores are not open.
Yeah. I was thinking more along the lines of like managing the process, because like Apple gets loads of phones out everywhere every year. On top of all the other stuff they do now. So like letting Apple manage the logistics of getting something everywhere all the time seems kind of like their jam. So I was like, maybe that's what it'll be.
Tim Cook does love logistics.
Oh, he does.
However, that is not what happened. And we probably should have actually guessed that it was not going to be about COVID. It was going to be about racial equality.
Yes.
Because A, it's a thing that Apple... it takes very seriously and is very important to Apple. And B, it has a $100 million racial equity and justice initiative that is not very old and is only getting bigger and becoming more important to what the company does.
Yeah. And that was this morning's announcement. So let's step through what that entails, I guess.
Yeah. So there's lots of different bits. Exactly. So the first thing is, it's expanding. I have to say, this is a concept I don't quite understand from being in the UK, but it refers to historically black colleges and universities.
Yes.
And they are creating what they're calling the Propel Center, which is a global innovation hub that will be at historically black colleges and universities. And I think there'll be an online element, but there's going to be a physical space as well, which I believe is going to, and Apple is putting $25 million into that.
And that's going to be a physical building with a lot of resources available, including housing for people who go there. As you said, obviously there'll be an online component. There's a sketch of this, like, on the top of the press release, and it looks like a bunch of beautiful buildings. Like, they look cool and interesting to me. So I was...
Let's cut to the chase. It looks like an expansion of Apple Park. The pictures are on the story as well, on the Mac Observer. It was the picture I wanted to use for the story. It looks stunning.
Yes, it looks amazing.
It's going to be part of the Atlanta University Center District. So there's all of that. So that's one big thing. The next thing is, it's going to open a US developer academy in downtown Detroit, which Apple says that Detroit has a vibrant black entrepreneur and developer community. There are 50,000 black owned businesses according to census data. So it's launching that in collaboration with the Michigan State University. There's going to be a 10 to 12 month program, which is the full program, or there's a 30 day introductory program as well. And there are also new funding. There's the third element of this is a new funding partnerships for black and brown entrepreneurs. There's two investment plans that they're doing mm-hmm. with that, working with some venture capital.
And so that was really interesting to me, like the investment piece of it. Like, we're going to put money in with these other places who are investor, like venture capital firms, basically. And primarily what they do is work with entrepreneurs of color. And so it's going to, I think that part is going to be interesting. And one of them is Harlem Capital, which is a VC place that also has an internship program to help women and minority investors become investors themselves. And that sounds really interesting. Right. The Impact Fund is another thing that they're doing with another firm that I've heard of, so they must be a big deal because I don't pay a lot of attention to VC fund names. But this one is looking to, again, support businesses in underserved markets and foster inclusive growth. So that sounded really interesting. And part of what I thought was interesting about this is, well, there were two things. The first was I really liked the getting in on investing. And then the second was this is the latest in Apple getting involved in a social issue in a way that puts their money where their mouth is.
Yes, that's absolutely right. It was the exact, I had exactly the same thought process when I started reading through all the various announcements. And there's, we've discussed it on the show before, but periodically big things like this do happen. As I mentioned, Apple launched the its Racial Equity and Justice Initiative back in June. Mm-hmm. It followed the killing of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and all these terrible incidents that we heard of. And so Apple, again, put its money where its mouth is and started this fund. It's led by Lisa Jackson.
Yes.
Who leads all Apple's initiatives, climate change initiatives, and now these social initiatives as well. Mm-hmm. And Tim Cook, earlier that month, the week before they made that announcement, put out a very, very strong public statement on the killing of George Floyd. Mm-hmm. We were discussing off-air, this is a different kind of Apple to, this is a Tim Cook Apple thing, not a Steve Jobs Apple thing.
Yes.
That's not to say Steve Jobs would not have felt and had the same opinions. Mm-hmm. I think we can probably assume he would have.
Yeah, there's a good chance.
And would have been as horrified and offended and angered as Tim Cook clearly mm-hmm. was in his statement. But Tim Cook has been prepared to put these things front and center. Yeah.
And that is one thing, like, for a long time, like, it is interesting that they've been so public about it. And I think for a lot of long time Apple watchers, we know that Apple was sort of an apolitical company. So getting involved in something like this was never something that Steve Jobs' Apple did. That doesn't mean he wouldn't do it now. Things now are very different than they were when he ran things, like,
I
as
a
society.
A point.
That, like, we can't say that for sure. But what I do remember is that after he passed, stories came out about the money that he donated and the time and the things that went out to other charitable organizations, and he never wanted to be public about it. So
yes,
it was always something.
I think that's very fair.
I think there were a lot of stuff. There was a lot of stuff we heard about after he passed because there was no more sort of restriction on, like, he didn't want us to say anything about this. And so now we can tell you, you know, that he donated money to this fund or to do these things or whatever. And we didn't have that. And like, I feel, I would like to think that he would be public about these things now. And I sort of like the idea that it would be the standard prickly Steve Jobs, that, like, if you didn't like it, don't buy Apple stuff. And I'm not going to lose an ounce of sleep about it if you don't, you know, because we're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
So I'd like to think that's true, but, like, just in comparing them the way that they are, you know, that was a very apolitical company, and we've seen a lot more political and social involvement from Tim Cook's Apple. Whatever you think of that, that's the reality. So,
yeah, and, you know, this is someone that you know, made sure he had, how can I put this delicately, open lines with the Trump administration.
Yeah.
which some people didn't like, but mm-hmm. equally spoke out on very specific things he didn't, Tim Cook, I mean, didn't approve of. For example, we did a story a while back when it happened that Tim Cook spoke out very strongly against the Muslim ban that President Trump put forward. He said it's not a policy we support. So mm-hmm. Tim Apple has, I've got to do it one more time.
I know.
Has spoken out on these things. Mm-hmm. You mentioned off air, and there's always been lots of pictures of Tim Cook and Apple employees very visibly at pride parades and all those kind of things.
Yeah. And I mean, like Apple every June has a new iteration of a gay pride watch band.
Ask Kelly how she knows this. Kelly knows this because she buys one every June.
I do. I buy one. I treat myself every year to one Apple watch band, and it's the one they put out in June. Someday we'll have a separate conversation about that as we become a more socially aware podcast, the way Apple has become a more socially aware company. the thing that strikes me about this in particular is that it's specific.
It's very specific and targeted.
This
here,
like this announcement today is the follow-on to that announcement that you mentioned in June. So it's been interesting to watch these things evolve and to watch Apple just sort of get involved and be a corporate citizen with more emphasis on citizen, I feel like. Because we've talked about Apple's political affiliations and such and different peoples. And this morning, Tim Cook had an interview on CBS with Gail King. And one of the things that he said when she was talking to him about is part of this because of what you've lived through as a person who grew up in the South and things like that. And he said something along the lines of, I'm going to get it wrong, so I'm not going to try and quote him, but it was something along the lines of, it would be hard to be alive in the times in which I've been alive and not see this and feel like there was something that you could do. And yeah, I thought that was very, very interesting.
Interesting, because there's a very slightly disputed story, isn't there, about Tim Cook's childhood in the South, and he says he recalls seeing a very senior figure in his community under a KKK hood.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the story, and it was burning something down, wasn't he?
I think so. Yeah.
He remembers this, I think, as a younger teenager or a kid. That story's been disputed. If you read Liana Carney's biography, I think people say they don't remember the incident, but Tim Cook has always said he remembers this particular incident. I don't think I'm doing anyone a disservice explaining it that way. Whatever the reality of that story, this is clearly something that has always motivated Tim Cook.
Yeah. But we made mention of earlier, Apple jumped in a year ago almost. Because that's how long we've been here, with making face masks, putting PPE out, distributing that stuff to a lot of places, making it and doing a lot of things that they could do in order to try to help battle. And the thing that I noticed then that I'm noticing again with this announcement today is it's very much a nuts and bolts thing. It's not we put a new banner on our website for a week or for a month. Here's what we're doing. It's not, we've tweeted out an image that says we support.
It's practical.
Here's what we did. Here's how we're doing it. Here's how long it's going to take. Whatever it is. Here are the nuts and bolts of the very, and very practical terms is how this stuff all gets described. So they said in June, more to come on the Racial Equality and Justice Initiative. And here that is. Months later, this is where some of that money is going. This is where some other of that money is going. Here's some examples of how that's going to help. Here's we are building this thing, and here's what it's going to do, and here's what it's going to be for, and here's how we're giving money to other people to sort of force multiply the work that they're already doing. We're just sort of amplifying that for other people. And that bit is the part to me that's really interesting about this, is because it's very much in practical terms. Not which sometimes stands out from companies that release a statement or whatever, but then go on business as usual. Like, this is a change. This is a thing that's going to be on Lisa Jackson's plate every day. It's going to be in her inbox every day. This is part of her day-to-day life now, is taking on this additional responsibility of managing these things and having them become reality. So I'm looking forward to finding out if that building is going to look anything like that drawing does in the press release. I look forward to finding out what kind of stuff they're going to be able to do for people, how the virtual aspect of reality in the 21st century is going to influence any of this. I think it's going to be awesome. Like, anything that democratizes information and education and opportunity, like, I'm always going to be 100% for that. So I'm really glad to see that this is Apple putting their, like, walking the walk. Like, anybody can go write a check, but to actually do something more effective with that money than just sort of write a check and move on about your life, to me, stands out. Because we're not hearing that about a bunch of other places, really, at this point.
Yeah, like, I think that's right. And that was very much part of its response, Apple's response to the COVID-19 pandemic. You mentioned the PPE. The thing that most people will know is, obviously, Apple worked with Google, its great rival, to help create exposure logging and exposure notifications in infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Which helped governments around the world build apps that having, you know, we hope had some effect in helping. Mm-hmm. It put $10 million from its advanced manufacturing fund to Cope and Diagnostics, which designed, tested, and distributed 10 million face shields. Mm-hmm. Apple did. That was the face shields that Apple did. 30 million face masks. I'm just, you know, I'm going through some of the stuff we've covered before.
Yeah.
It's made mobility data available to help governments and people who model this stuff understand how people are moving or not moving.
Yeah.
As various restrictions open and, you know, tighten. And it's so, as you say, all of it's very practical. And it's, yeah, I think your description of corporate citizen is correct. I suspect Apple will get some corporate benefit from it, but
oh sure, yeah. But I think, you know, I think it's interesting, and I'm looking forward to seeing how these things turn out, like, over time, like, finding out, because we're going to hear more about some of these people, right? Somebody's going to go through the development program, and we're going to see them attending WWDC, or, you know, here's an app that we can feature. Here's, like, an app store story about people who went through our developer program, and now they all have apps available on the app store. You know, here's some interesting things about them. I think we're going to see more of that stuff, and I look forward to it. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm glad to see the nuts and bolts of this. I would like to find out if anyone else is doing similar sorts of things, like, as a corporation, you know, if there are any other corporate entities out there, like, investing back in learning, like, you know, what does Google's Android developer program have as options available to you, you know, if you want to learn. I don't know. So if you know and want to tell us, you can reach us at observations@macobserver.com. You can leave comments in the show notes, or you can catch TMO Daily on Twitter. That's going to do it for us today. Charlotte, thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks for having me. It's nice to talk about, you know, attempts to do something positive.
It was nice to spend 20 minutes not on CES today. We will get you back to regularly scheduled CES coverage tomorrow. But for now, that's going to do it for us. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.